This is Sarah Wright with Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land, Oral Histories of Mendocino County. Today we'll hear from Nori Dolan, who came to Willits in 1974. She lived in a crowded two-room cabin, then made her home in Redwood Valley, Covelo, and Redwood Valley again. When we talked last December, she was settling into a new home on Ridgewood Ranch after surviving the fires of 2017. She's a dancer, a storyteller, and a gardener who performed an interpretive dance about her escape on the night of October 8th for a packed house full of longtime friends and neighbors. And everywhere she lives, she plants perennials or fruit trees for the next people who come along.
I'm Nori Dolan. I moved up here in 1974, October of 1974. I was born in Oakland, California. I was actually living in Los Altos with a group of people, and we had a work cooperative called Sunshine Work Cooperative, and our goal was to save up money in order to move to, and buy some land and do the back to the land thing. A lot of the people that I was involved with at the time had been very involved in demonstrations, had gone to UC Berkeley and were pretty active in politics. Also, just, you know, thinking out of the box, not wanting to follow in the footsteps of our parents' generation and do something different, you know, live off the land and learn how to care for ourselves and not be dependent on society or the mainstream to make it. So I was part of a group of about a dozen people, and we had this work cooperative called Sunshine Work Cooperative, and our goal was to save up the money to move up here. And we all shared a house together in Los Altos. We had a lot of different vehicles. We decided that what we would do is, for a business, is we would haul people's things to the dump as well as move people. So we had a 5-ton truck and we had a couple of pickup trucks, and we hauled people's things to the Menlo Park Atherton dump and moved people all over California. The thing that was interesting about this is the women also worked alongside the men, and we also exchanged in doing childcare, meaning that sometimes the men stayed back and took care of the kids and cooked. Now, that didn't last real long because we all realized and kind of came to the point that, well, okay, yes, these guys can get the work done quicker. But I pride myself on the fact that I learned how to drive a 5-ton truck, and I always felt very capable and physically strong. We had been searching and looking for land in various places in the state, and so we would take journeys on the weekends and go look at property. We finally saw an ad in the Mendocino Grapevine that some property was for rent in Willits out by Hearst near Tomkai and the Eel River. And we opted to move up here and rent, I think it was about 80 acres. It was a two-room cabin, and I'd never even seen it. Came to it, loaded all our stuff up, and headed out there. It was a pretty treacherous road. We had a school bus. We didn't take the 5-ton truck there, but we had a Willie's Jeep. We had a lot of vehicles there, and there was not a lot of flat land. It was very hilly, and we ended up having to haul a lot of stuff from this two-room cabin to the dump. One of the things that we took to the dump was a rat. There were rats. This place was infested with rats. And we were at the dump unloading, and all of a sudden this big rat jumped out of a pile of debris in the back of the truck and just kind of ran into the dump. And I just cracked up. I thought, oh, the rat's found his home, the dump. So from that point forward, we had a rubber rat that people would put in various places in the cabin to startle one another. And that was our big joke. So not everybody was on board with actually living in this cabin, although we had decided we wanted to be in Mendocino County. So some people splintered off at this point and did some traveling. Those that stayed were myself and my husband, my two children from a previous marriage. My husband's name was Lee Dolan, and another couple, Crescent and Terrell Madlam, and a woman by the name of Emma, who now lives up in Washington State, and then Terrell's daughter. And we all lived in this two-room cabin. We had lofts built. And like I said, other people went on a journey. And we did not stay there that long because it was really hard. The road was long and bumpy, and we had to walk about a mile to get to our place because the trucks, even the four-wheel drives, wouldn't even make it. So we didn't last there too long. I actually was one of the first people to leave that two-room cabin, and I moved a little bit north of Willits into a place called Shangri-La. It really was not much of a Shangri-La at all, but it was just a cabin off the side of 101. And two other women, Emma, who had been living there, and then my good friend Wendy, that I had known since high school, who was a part of this group. The three of us were asked if we would run the restaurant at the Hunter's Inn in Willits. And so both Wendy and Emma were bartending there. And we started working in the kitchen. And that lasted not a really long time because we were able to then buy some property in Redwood Valley. And so probably within, 10 months or so, we moved to Redwood Valley, and that was the first purchase that we all did together. As I said initially, we had saved money, you know, to move up here. And we made a good amount of money, so that was kind of exciting. I have to say, actually, I said my husband, he wasn't my husband at the time, so I was still a single parent, and I actually did receive food stamps and public assistance. I also did part-time work here and there and made money. The men mostly did building, and a few of them became building contractors, and others went off to do other things. So it was sort of a piecemeal type affair as far as money goes. Well, when we finally bought our place in Redwood Valley, it was on Road B. We bought 5 acres. It had an existing house, and it actually was used as a schoolhouse in the early 1900s. For a period of time. And so when we bought the house, there were numbers on the wooden bedroom doors, 1, 2, and 3, to represent the classrooms that were there. And, you know, some of us took classes at the college on animal husbandry. We had goats and chickens there. Everybody was pretty much self-taught in terms of building skills. And then one of our members, Steve Cowan, he was very involved with Alan Chadwick. And so he had taken workshops, and he really brought the interest of, you know, farming and gardening, although we all were interested in that. But he would go to workshops, come back and be very excited. And at one point, we had 500 fruit trees healed in at this place on Road B. Steve got them, and, you know, he knew we were not going to stay on this piece of property. It wasn't like the end goal that we needed more land. And so he just healed them in, and they were there for, a year and a half or so. And eventually they got planted in Covelo because we ended up moving to Covelo and were in the process of purchasing 160 acres there. Prior to moving to Covelo, part of our group decided to not continue onward. But what I would like to say is that while we lived at Road B in Redwood Valley, which was for about 5 years, we had a lot of weddings there, and I gave birth to my son there, and there were probably 20 people present at his birth, which I still run into. You know, I'll see people today, or, you know, they'll say, oh yeah, I was at Alder's birth. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot you were there. My son was born in 1978, and I had midwives. I had Ross and Lynn Ritter, who were very involved in midwifery then. And another friend, Jenny Reynolds, who was part of the midwife crew. And I did go see a doctor on the coast towards the end of my pregnancy just to make sure everything was okay. Everything went really well. He was my third child. So I had both of my older daughters in hospitals, and they were present at the birth. They went to school that day. I woke up and knew I was in labor, but they went to school, and someone went and picked them up, brought them home, and we had various people doing different tasks. Someone was boiling water. Someone else was cooking food so that there'd be food for people. It wasn't a super long labor. He was born at 2:15 in the afternoon, and I remember the sunlight was streaming in through the windows when he was born on November 13th, 1978, the day before it snowed, and we had taken a walk at the Fry Ranch in the snow, and then I went into labor the next morning. But so that was pretty exciting. And we had wonderful parties and weddings, and lots of people would come and visit us. We were very connected in the Redwood Valley community to the Fries and the Fetzers, and would have Buffalo Bob and his Country Butter Band come and play. And we would go to the Grange to hear Hanson, Raitt, and Ford. And it was just really some fun, fun times. Some people decided maybe they wanted to have their own fun somewhere else, so they splintered off and ended up buying property on Black Bart Trail. That was Crescent and Terrell Madlam. And the rest of us decided we would go north to Covelo. So Lee and Crescent actually built one of the first passive solar houses here. And then shortly after that, we ended up moving up to Covelo. We lived in town initially and then got involved in purchasing 160 acres, which was a work trade for the property. And it didn't end necessarily real positive for all of us. We wanted to do a land trust and have the land be kept for our children, and then give it back to the Native American community after that. However, we never wrote up any legal documents stating this, and for various reasons, things dissolved shortly thereafter. But the fruit trees got planted there, and we put in a reservoir, and we had to dig an emergency spillway one fall, and I'll never forget that. It was pouring rain, and we were all out there digging this emergency spillway, and then, of course, had to go skinny dipping and take the clay that was on the side and put it all over our bodies, too. So that'll be something I'll always remember.
If you've just joined us, we're listening to Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land, Oral Histories of Mendocino County. We're hearing from Nori Dolan, who came to Willits in 1974. There were plenty of parties and skinny dipping, but there was lots of hard work, too. Someone made a video of a crew of Back to the Landers dismantling the high school in Ukiah. By that time, Nori and her family were living in Redwood Valley.
There was one existing house at 1900 Road B, and there was a small little cabin. And so Lee and I decided that we wanted to build a cabin up on the hill. And then we heard about the Ukiah High School being torn down and how various people, back to the landers, hippies in the hills, came out to assist in taking apart the high school. And for everything that was taken down, we were able to keep half for our own use. So we got maple windows or maple flooring. We got arched windows and built this cabin that had like four levels. And the thing that was interesting about this cabin is it was a pole foundation. And so we went and we got the poles from Jackson State Forest. And I think we paid like, I don't know, $8 for a permit or something to go get these fallen trees that the telephone company or power or PG&E, I don't know, one or the other, had left on the ground. And so we went and got these poles. They went 8 feet into the ground, and that was the foundation for this cabin. And it was great to just have all these windows in there from the high school, as well as the maple flooring. And there was, you know, a lot of people involved from Greenfield, from Potter Valley, that assisted in taking down the high school. I personally went there maybe once and helped. There were other women that helped. And I know there were a few that were topless when they helped as well. But on, I don't know if it was the last day, we had a party and we had a cake. And that's part of what is in the footage of the video that's on YouTube. I would assist here and there, but I did not hone like major building skills or anything. I was a super young mother. I had two children by the time I was 19 years old. So when I moved up here, I already had two children and then I had a third. And so often I was providing childcare. And the other women that I lived with at the time only had one child each. And so often I would end up with the passel of kids because I had two. And so I would be cooking and making sure they were getting fed and so forth. So I was taking care of that sort of thing. But I think probably what I gained the most was throughout this whole process was a sense of creativity and art, performing arts. I taught dance when we lived in Covelo. That was one way that I made money, but also gardening skills. And so wherever I've lived since then, I've always had a garden and I've always planted perennials and left them when I left the place. When we first moved to Covelo, we didn't have the land yet. We lived in a farmhouse on Lovell Street, right downtown Covelo. And I started teaching dance. There was no one teaching dance there. I think I had something like 70-something students between, you know, really young children all the way up to adults. I also waitressed at a Mexican restaurant in town that was really good. And, you know, so this was sort of the heyday, I guess, of Covelo. The co-op was there. There was a pizza place with organic bread. It was a bakery. And so there were these places where people would gravitate to, but also because we had this big farmhouse, a lot of people who lived up in the hills would come and stay with us when they came to town. So we were always very community-minded and had visitors, had a lot of visitors, had a lot of meals together, had a lot of parties. Well, then this property became available, and it was owned by a man who did not live in Covelo, It was 160 acres, and it was in the northwest hills above the valley. We were able to do like a work trade in exchange. There was some money exchanged, but there was a water tower that was built in the valley by the men in the group in the commune in exchange for this land, as well as a house in Tahoe for the owner. Now, one of the things that happened was we weren't that organized and we liked to party. And I have to say that even though we had great ideals and intentions to have a community there, it was so rural and so removed that it was hard to really get an infrastructure going. And due to partying and use of substances, we did have issues of substance abuse, and that did have an impact on the community. And we did get the fruit trees planted, and like I said, we did get the reservoir put in and then dug an emergency spillway. And I ended up leaving kind of abruptly from this place. Not everybody else did, but because we did not have the people power to really keep it going, it did end up dissolving, and the owner of that land ended up taking the land back. Right when I left there, I actually went to the Fry's, and I lived there for about a month, and I helped them in the garden until I could sort of sort through and figure out what I was going to do. But I ended up back on Road B, and at the top of Road B this time, living with Jenny and Peter Reynolds. And they are very community-minded people. And so once again, I was back in a community. However, I had my own place, and I just kind of pieced my life back together and started volunteering. Well, I was teaching dance. That was one thing that I did. And then I started volunteering at Project Sanctuary, which then led into me working there. And that was sort of the beginning of my human service career. It's been interesting because there's been this thread of conversation back and forth about people remembering specific little detailed things. Like one of the people, Kelly Jones, who was part of our commune, he was on a sort of a spiritual journey prior to coming. And he was sort of in and out of our group. But at one point, he bought a Volkswagen, I think for like $35. And he had to wear a gas mask when he drove it because the exhaust circled back into the car. One of the guys in living in a different house before we moved up here just did not want to wash a cast iron pan. So he threw it out the window. So that it would get washed in nature, I guess. These are just silly little stories, you know. You know, I think for the most part, it was a positive experience because I feel like we were breaking ground. We were wanting to do something different and carry on a legacy to our kids about peace and freedom and love and nurturance of the land and self-sufficiency. And so that sticks with me, and it always will. I think the downside was we did not have we had a focus that we wanted to live off the land. We did not have a spiritual focus altogether or a commonality that really glued us together. And there was a lot of partying, and I think that that was sort of the downfall, is that that caught up with us. And I think that there was always a challenge between the women and the men. that the women did not feel heard and as equal as the men, because the men were stronger, the men did most of the work, even though we did do physical labor and we were right in there working with them in the beginning when we had the Sunshine Work Cooperative. But I think as time went on, the women felt less and less equal to the men, and I think that was a downfall. I think it also had to do with the fact that we were young and we didn't have enough wisdom yet. You know, now I have a better understanding of, you know, why things kind of evolved and happened as they did. And I think that most of the men that were involved probably now in reflection would say that, yes, there were times when they didn't treat us equal, basically. So I think we're all wiser now, and we've learned from this experience. One thing that really excites me are the younger generation of farmers and gardeners and growers that are here now. And I know I haven't even talked about cannabis or any of that culture, because that's a whole other thing that would take a long time to talk about. But in terms of, you know, growing food and, you know, preserving the land, I happen to live somewhere now where there are four separate gardens here in this valley at Ridgewood Ranch. And I feel that that is a continuation of the beliefs, and what we thought was important back then is being carried out now. And it's just so wonderful to see so many different projects like that happening. I don't think it was fueled by the growing of cannabis. I think it was partially fueled by psychedelics and cannabis, in the sense of mind-expanding beliefs that developed from people, you know, experimenting. And then recognizing they didn't want to follow in their parents' footsteps and wanted to step out and do something different, make a change, and do something radical. And so it had an influence, but I think the main influence was to learn to live off the land and be in community and support our families and take care of the planet. Take care of the earth. I think those values are coming forward more now than they were then, because people realize and recognize that based upon climate change and what's happening on the planet now, we have got to think forward and do the right thing to keep the earth healthy and carry on.
We've been listening to Promise of Paradise, Back to the Land, Oral Histories of Mendocino County. I'm Sarah Reif. We just heard from Nori Dolan. If you'd like to check out our archive with photos and more, just type Promise of Paradise KZYX into your search engine. Promise of Paradise is supported by the National Endowment for the Humanities, California Humanities, the Arts Council of Mendocino County, the Judy Pruden Historical Preservation Fund of the Community Foundation of Mendocino County, the Mendocino Institute, Story Center, and Grace Hudson Museum.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.